Today's show is brought to you by Tee It Up for the Troops. Divots can be replaced. Freedom cannot. Portions of this program may not be suitable for those under the age of 18. Parental guidance is suggested, but not mandatory.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Sorry. I don't care if it sounds crazy and has a brain injury. He is funny.
We're definitely in support of those that serve.
Rock has two words of advice for you. Simply put, get ready.
There's a lot of nonprofit organizations out there.
I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Business can make dreams come true.
The H-Train Show.
The H-Train Show.
On your butt.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Denver, Colorado, here at the Railhead Station Studios, it's another edition of the H-Train Show with my guest host, Rich Owens. Yes, he's here where our mission is to show veterans and our men and women all over the world that there are more programs out there beyond the VA. My name's H-Train.
And my name's Rich Owen.
There you go. Thanks for riding with us. Now you can. Oh. Okay. Almost.
I had one job.
That's funny. Well, everybody, I tell you what. Thank you for riding with us. Thank you for joining in. I'm still getting familiar with this video thing. I haven't quite got it to a point where I can hit the record thing on the computer and hit the record thing on the video.
That's why God gave you two fingers.
I know, right, and those two fingers just do not mix, I tell you. But, hey, we've got a great show for you today. If you didn't already know, Rich, I'll let you read the itinerary. Tell us who we have for today's interview.
All right. After departure from our station, we'll be heading to today's interview, the High Plains Trail Riders. Today's event, we will have tidbits today. It's always an exciting thing.
Yes.
And we're also going to be having a tribute to the troops with Kevin Valley.
There we go. So that's what we have. And, of course, if you've heard the show before, you already know. At a two-minute warning, we'll preview who we have next week, and we will explain what we learned in today's episode. Now, next week's show is going to be pre-recorded. Hey, I got to have a vacation.
You don't need a life.
I got to have a vacation. It's kind of thing. But I tell you, next week's interview is going to be the rebroadcast of Brothers Down, that interview. So that's going to be super. Find out all about that nonprofit next Monday. So with that being said, Rich, I'm going to toot his own horn for him because I know he ain't going.
Do I know you that well?
Rich is a very successful country music Western
singer, songwriter.
Yep, and I've known him from
a decade now, at least
almost the beginning.
Yeah,
almost the beginning. So for him, and he was Air Force. He was an Air Force.
Don't hold it against me. Don't hold it against me, buddy. I know you're Army, but you know.
But I'm so glad that you reached out and you're like, hey, I'd like to do this. This puts another feather in the pail for your bucket list. You know, you can say, hey, I broadcast it. I co-host on a radio show.
That's right. And hopefully I won't say anything that he has to bleep out later.
Right. Oh, I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm sure you'll be fine. Oh, it's the Marines that we got to worry about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're
and the Navy, because you know what they say about the Navy.
The Navy's
no.
Okay.
No, all right.
They're all right.
But swears like a sailor. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Marines are tough. They're really tough. But we have a great show planned for you. So, Rich, tell us, how are things going with the whole...
Oh, Actually, as far as the music things go, it's actually really good. I signed at the beginning of last year with Solaris Entertainment Studios, which is a Sony sub-label, I guess.
Okay.
Record label. They had me getting into the studio. I put up my my first album, which was out near the end of last year. In its first 3 months, it had about 260,000 plays and downloads, so that was pretty good. Going to be going out to a showcase next month for it's a showcase and a benefit for Soldiers Songs and Voices, which does music therapy and workshops and things for veterans, as a form of therapy, like I said. So, that'll be fun out in Greenville, South Carolina. So if y'all out there on August 17th, come on out to the firmament and check out the showcase.
There we go. Hey, that sounds great. And you know, you was giving me the dates and stuff. I'm gonna try to make it out there. Maybe even do a possible remote. But
that'd be awesome.
It's tough. It's tough, yeah. Especially since I'm going to Sturgis. And when I get back from Sturgis, then we've got Cripple Creek. That's a huge veteran rally. I was talking to somebody today, an interview with somebody, and she was telling me that she was in Montana. And she's like, yeah, well, with Montana, you know, we're in this. And I'm like, oh, well, you're not too far from Beartooth Bike Rally. She's like, what's that? And I explained it to her. It's kind of like Sturgis, but it's in Montana. And she's like, oh, that makes sense. We saw a bunch of biker groups running past us, and I'm like, yep,
that's probably it.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. But you know, I don't know if you know this, a lot of people don't know this, but like, they have a bike rally every single month. They call it the Bike Rally Belt. It goes from southwest to northeast. There's one in Arizona, they call it Arizona Bike Week. There's Sturgis.
There's Sturgis, I've heard of.
There's Montana. Well, Sturgis you heard of because in a town of like 3,000 people, there's 900,000 bikes. So you would, I hope you've heard about Sturgis, you know?
Well, I keep hoping to get to play there sometime. I actually wrote and recorded a country song all about the Patriot Guard riders. And so I keep hoping someone will hear it and go, oh, we got to get that Rich Owen guy out here to do that song for us. But not yet.
It's tough.
It is.
It's tough. It's almost as tough as volunteering and getting to play with the USO.
Yeah, yeah. Also on my bucket list.
Yeah. Very, very tough. In fact, unless you're an NFL star, it's very hard to get on the USO. I got a friend that went with the USO, but he was telling me hoops that he had to jump. It was pretty tough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what hoops did you jump? He's like, I don't know. Ask my manager. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could have a manager not tell me how things are.
Well, you know, it's probably something like, you know, you take about what it takes to put this show on that you do here,
right,
and you just multiply about 100 things, and that's, by 100 times. And that's kind of what it's like to go put on a tour schedule for an artist for a year. Something I'm hoping to do as early as next year. But, I mean, it's you just go where they tell you. You know, it's kind of like being in the military, you know.
Right.
Go where they tell you. You do what they tell you. You sleep when they tell you. You eat when they tell you. So it's kind of like that.
I had a friend from high school that created a song. He wrote it about me. And I was trying to help him. And I was doing really good. I had all these places lined up for him to play. And it stopped the books when he's like, well, okay, well, how much are they going to be paying me? And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
You didn't ask about that.
You didn't say nothing about that. You said you wanted a tour, you know?
It kind of costs money to do that, you know?
Yeah, you never said anything about money. Well, and that's when I learned that it's very easy to get rid of 300 T-shirts when you're giving them away free.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to sell 300 T-shirts, It's a little harder.
Yeah, and you know, that's where on music artists, that's where they make a good chunk of their money when they're touring and doing shows. You know, it's merchandising. Yeah. It's all about that, man.
Yeah.
So, got to have those t-shirts. I'm wearing your t-shirt today, you see?
I know, I saw that. Yeah. I feel really bad.
Yeah, here, I thought we'd both be wearing the same t-shirt and be like, hey, look, we're brothers.
I'm totally bad for that. But, hey, you look good.
Hey, thanks,
red fits you well.
That's right. That's right. This makes me look good. Wait a minute. I make it look good. No, I was right the first time.
We have a great show for you guys, everybody. We are going to cut to the first music break. We're shedding up some time because the interview that we did today that we're going to be airing is pretty long. But the information, you'll see what I mean. The information was really good. So whatever you do, do not go away. Did you want to take us to break, or do you want me to take us to break?
Why don't you do it this time, and okay. I'll watch the master at work.
All right. No problem. All right, everybody. Well, it's that time. We're going to go on a music break. And when we come back, we're doing the tidbits discussion. Find out who is playing baseball after going to Dave and Buster's. You're an incredible story. You ain't going to believe this. So stay with us. Don't go away. You're listening to the show that highlights on the nonprofit program Beyond the VA. It's the HHH.
You're listening to MBR.
This is Elizabeth Lumsden, the founder of Operation Destination Homebound, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
All right, and we are back. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs Beyond the VA. It's the AIDS Train Show. And me and Rich over here, I learned something already new. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Rich Owen, not Owens.
That's right. Get the S out of there.
Get the S out of there. Yes. I've only been calling him that for 8 years, and now I find out.
I was humoring you, man. I was just humoring you.
I know. It just makes me feel bad, you know? That's like when you call a 1-800 number, and they're like, can I call you Joel? No, you can't call me Joel. It's Joel. I don't care if you call me butthole. I don't care if you call me jerk.
I'm glad you told me that. So you know, from now on,
do not call me Joel. Oh, that's that's a pet peeve. Oh, I hate that. But it is that time, everybody. And we, let me get my thing open because I was just.
Hey, careful what you're opening around here.
Yeah, I was just showing. We got another. For what the segment, I'll show you this before the next segment. But it is that time, Rich. It is. Yeah, I just got to make sure that I do this right. It is that time, Rich. It is Tidbits.
Ooh-ah.
Tidbits, sponsored by NXT Turn Multimedia. Have a brand but asking what's next? Contact NXT Turn Multimedia today. Tidbits, sponsored by NXT Turn Multimedia. Have a brand but asking what's next? Contact NXT Turn Multimedia today.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard?
Come by and bring us some good news.
Tidbits.
Okay, there we go. All right. See how it's so confusing doing that? I messed up, but that's okay. That's the art of editing. I love this pre-recording.
Lovely, yeah.
Okay, Rich, so here we go.
It never even happened.
All right, so I'm seeing a lot of businesses starting to do this, and it's driving me crazy because we've been reading this This is like the fourth or fifth show. And honestly, it's driving me crazy. So, oh, and we just got breaking news also. Oh, my gosh. We'll talk about that on Music Break. Did you see read that?
I just did.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Holy smokes.
Gosh.
Jeez. Again?
Right?
Oh, man.
If you didn't know, like, you already know that we're pre-recording this, but we just got breaking news that 18 people just got shot, multiple dead, and suspect in custody after shooting in El Paso. Man.
I don't understand. I don't know why it's happening.
You know, the shootings when we were in Iraq, they got worse as the heat started to getting hotter. I don't know what it is, but it seems that whenever it's even hotter,
mm-hmm.
people tend to get more angry.
They get more aggressive.
Yeah.
Looking for an outlet. Yeah, man.
So I wonder if that has anything to do with it, because I've dealt with that with Iraq.
When you first started to tell me, did you see this? I thought you were talking about the one below that was the like mustard flavored ice cream or something.
Oh.
And I was not laughing about the shooting when you first said that.
Okay.
And I'm like, going, oh my! And then I looked again. And I go, oh my God.
Yeah. So yellow mustard ice cream offers a bold spin on classic condiments. Yep, you read that right. Yellow mustard ice cream. We've seen our fair share of inventive flavors to wasabi. And now mustard producer French has churned their classic condiments to ice cream. And then, so
what do you put that on?
I don't know. But, you know, our producer sent that to me. And I'm like, what? Brandy. Why do you keep sending me food tidbits?
That's because you're wasting away, man.
But then she sends this. Oh, yeah, you like that? Try this. Well, Oscar Mayer to release hot dog flavored ice cream sandwiches.
Well, there you go. That's what the mustard flavored ice cream is for. Mustard on hot dogs.
It's so nasty.
I just can't even think of it.
So nasty.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're talking about like the when you're talking there's like pickle flavored stuff and bacon flavored stuff.
No, wait a minute now. Bacon flavors. Everything's better
but
with bacon.
Not a shake.
Okay.
A shake. Not ice cream. That's
oh
just...
my daughter went out and she had a some kind of ice cream float. That had bacon in it, and she swore it was the best thing she'd ever eaten. I didn't try it, so I don't know, but she said that was absolute heaven. I raised her right. Bacon. Yeah.
that's so nasty. oh, my gosh.
Now, the bacon-flavored toothpaste, you can forget that.
They have that out, too.
Yes, they do.
My, you know, the only thing I can think of is the people are trying to eat healthy.
Yeah. So how are they going to get their bacon fix if they're always eating healthy, man?
And they're
bacon.
They're like, you know, I can just see it. I don't know if you've watched the King of Queens, that TV series.
Not in a while.
Okay,
not
a
while.
Long
but
time
I do.
Ago,
yeah.
I forget his name, but the heavyset guy, he's like, I'm going to be a vegetarian now, and he's going through it. And then they show how they're creating a new burger that's like on a pizza, and he reads that, and he's like, oh my gosh, you got to try it. It's so new. That's the only thing that I can think of is there's these guys in a meeting, and they're like, all right, we need to sell some Burger King or McDonald's. The sales are down because everybody is starting to eat healthy.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I've started the same thing. So here's what I do. I go out and I buy fresh vegetables.
Okay.
I feed it to my pig. And he converts it to bacon for me. It's awesome. And I only drink filtered water. Filtered through a brewery.
There we go. That, hey, Eating Healthy Tips by Rich Owen. See how
you
did
that? So from now on, every time you say my name, you're going to pause just to remind me that I embarrassed you about my last name. Thank you very much.
There you go. There you have it. All right, so the next tidbit, this is the one that I want to spend a lot of time with because, you know, I'm starting to see this, and I know why this is happening, and I'll explain to you why it's happening. The tidbit is, so there's a guy, I don't know if it was Dave and Buster's, but you kind of get the idea. He is a 20-year-old, he throws a 96 miles per hour, and he gets signed by the Oakland A's.
Yeah. You know, here, this is like winning the lottery right here, right. Man. Winning the lottery.
But, you know, this is the thing that people don't understand. Just because they sign you doesn't mean that they're going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two things on this. Number one, there is a possibility that he couldn't afford to go to college.
Okay. Happens to a lot of people.
And he has that talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking a chance on him. Maybe they put him in a farm league. I don't know. But I don't know how baseball works. I don't really watch baseball. Yeah. Don't they sign you to a team, but then you have to prove yourself
yeah,
in
a lot
farm
of,
league?
Well, yeah. So a lot of times you'll start out in like they'll start you in like the AAA, you know, so they'll sign you to that and they'll put you out there. They get you seasoned, get you some time in front of crowds and just help you develop your, develop your arm or whatever it is that you're, you know, and then they move you up from there. Someone who's never done something like this before, and you don't know unless you go and research more, but assuming that he hasn't even played, you know, college level or something, it wouldn't make sense that they'd sign you right up to the A's, playing on,
right,
you know, on the A's, the actual team. You know, you'd think they'd send him down to the minor league, let him get some time down there and prove what he can do.
Yeah, so I don't know how they do that. It says signed by the Oakland A's, but, I mean, if it was a farm league, would they say signed by farm league, blah, blah, blah? Or would they sign him by the Oakland A's and then put him in the farm league?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, somebody, if you know out there, you know, someone send a message up here and let us know. Because I just got to imagine they would have to put him down on one of the like in the farm league, triple A's or something like that. And is there a quadruple A?
Well,
oh, they actually have a video of the guy, too, doing it.
They do. They have the video. I was trying
Well, he looks pretty stout.
I was trying to read. Well, and this is the thing, and I know this from being a competitive skier. It's real easy to ski gates and to have a fast time in training. It's real easy to... Because I was a kicker in the football in high school.
Uh-huh.
It was real easy to kick those field goals during practice. I mean, I kicked like a 73 one time.
That's
really
darn,
easy.
That's pretty
okay?
Darn good.
It really easy. Well, you can say the D.
Oh, okay, I'll try not to.
Real easy to kick a long field goal like that, okay? Now,
I'm going
to
take your word for that.
You start putting your uniform on, you know, these pads. And then you start having these overgrown, I haven't hit puberty yet.
But I'm 6'5". And
5 foot.
280 pounds.
Yeah, high school students uh-huh. coming at you. It's a different story, Rich.
A little different perspective.
It's a different story.
Well, and then you got the crowds and stuff like that out there.
You got the crowds. And I will tell you this right now. I had more pressure on me when I went to Sochi than I did when I was just doing these competitive skiing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot different.
Well,
the pressure was
there. You're representing yourself and maybe your team.
Right.
But you go to Sochi, you're representing the whole dang country.
Right. You know, and like you wanted to be aggressive, but you also didn't want to to wreck and DNF in front of the whole country.
That's right. The whole world is watching, but no pressure, man.
Right,
no
exactly. Pressure. Yeah.
But see, the funny thing is that for me, so as a music performer, I've gotten up in front of like 4,000 people. No problem. It just felt great, did a great job and all that kind of stuff. But if it's me and my guitar in a little pub with like 8 people, they're staring right at me. Oh, that scares the snot out of me, man. You know, I'd take the 4,000 people any day over that small, intimate crowd where everybody can hear every little mistake you make.
I believe it. I really do. Because, you know, one thing that I've always wondered, like a long time ago when I was a kid, it was my dream. I think it's always been somebody's dream to make it big and be like a, you know, music group or a dancer or something.
Sure, yep.
I have a question. You're going to laugh, but it's the utmost seriousness. When you're on stage, do you ever worry about like having to go to the bathroom or farting or something?
Yeah.
I can just see you're like really getting into the tunes, you're being the guitarist, you're doing the music, and you're like, okay, I just gotta let it rip, and then you let it rip, and then your lead singer comes over
everybody behind you just kind of passes out. That's where the big stage with the big crowd, you know, unless you just reposition your microphone, no one's gonna hear you.
Okay.
But if you're in that little setting and you're doing that, I always think about, gosh, I hope I don't have to be in the middle of my set and suddenly I got to use the bathroom. Oh, geez. There was one time where I got sick. I was physically ill to my stomach. And I'm there thinking to myself, just let me get through this song and not hurl all over the front row. All
right.
You know, and I did. And I was like, okay, thanks. I'll be right back. And I kind of run off stage, you know, and it's like, you know, and then back in a few minutes and I go, oh yeah, it's fine. It's all good. I'm back.
So, it's not a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question. Well, you get up there and we've done, you know, even when you're doing like a club thing where you can have some breaks and stuff like that, you're playing anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half between breaks, and that's a long time, man.
Right.
So that's why I only drink the half the beer before I go on, just enough to take the edge off. Not enough to make me stupid,
right?
Or need to use the bathroom halfway through the set. So.
That's fine. Well, at least I don't feel too dumb.
No.
That it does. It actually happens.
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see how we are on time before we continue. I should have started this like a long, long time ago because we have a couple of more minutes with it. Oh,
so he said, stretch it out. Well, stretch it out.
Well, I forgot that the songs that we played today is Rich Owen, his.
So you could blame me. So, even the meatloaf, that
well,
was me.
Well, that meatloaf is like 9 minutes.
I know. Well, I didn't want you to have to work too hard, man. In case you had to use the bathroom during the middle of the show. Get plenty of time. Get a cup of coffee, read War and Peace. Okay, the song's over.
So for that, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready to go on our music break. But before that, it's my favorite time of the show. It is Tribute to Troops.
All day long.
Tribute to Troops. Sponsored by High Style NXT. Custom quality furnishings and gifts with attitude.
This is an MBR moment of heroism.
Sir, I don't know how to tell this story.
Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died.
Could I make that sacrifice? If I came down to it, could I take the fight?
Hey everyone, this is Brandy with this week's tribute to the troops to honor Kevin Yali, 27, of Midland Park, New Jersey, who passed away in Afghanistan on June 19, 2019. Yali enlisted in the Navy in 2012 and served four deployments. Yali cared a lot about everyone, including the homeless and our country. The H-Train Show send our thoughts and prayers to Yali's family and friends during this difficult time.
Everybody, we're going to go on a music break, and when we come back, it is the interview of the week with the nonprofit. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to MBR.
Hey, this is Crow, the creator and lead singer of the band Alien Space Debris, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
All right, everybody. Hey, we are back. Welcome to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show. And I tell you, I'm not even going to lie to you. We are pre-recording this. This is going to air Monday, which, you know, is today. Back to the future kind of thing. I'm leaving for Sturgis, but... I had a good friend of mine that helped create a nonprofit, and I've been trying to get this nonprofit on the show for the longest time because I think what they're doing is just outstanding. They're helping a lot of veterans, and it's a weird way. At least I thought it was a weird way, but it's working. And to explain what they're doing, I have Brittany on the line. Brittany is the PR person, as you will. That's radio talk lingo. She is the PR person for High Plains Trail Riders, and this nonprofit is brand new. I believe that it was just created last year, but don't take my word for it. We have Brittany on the line to explain the who, the what, the when, and the why. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Brittany. Hi, Brittany. How are you?
I'm good, Joel. How are you?
I am great. I am outstanding. I don't do mornings. That's for sure. But so I guess the first question, and usually I ask the person, like, you know, what inspired you to create this nonprofit? What's the story behind it? But I don't think you created a nonprofit. So my question would be to you is, why was this nonprofit created? I mean, isn't there a ton of groups or nonprofits like yours here in Colorado? Why exactly was it created?
Well, so it was created by a group of ladies that live out in the kind of more rural area outside of Denver towards Kansas. And we had all been part of other groups out there, and we wanted to be part of a group that did more for giving back to the people around us, the community around us, the other nonprofits around us. And it seemed like a lot of the groups we were part of were very much a self-serving type group and not willing to really branch out and kind of give back in the way that we wanted to. So what we decided was, if it's not here and we want it to be, why not make it ourselves? And so we figured the only thing stopping us was putting in the time and the effort to do it. And so we got together and we discussed if we were willing to do that and decided we weren't.
Interesting. And so far,
that's all.
And so far from, I mean, a couple of events that I've attended so far, it's been very successful.
Oh, we think so. We've done more this first year than we thought we were going to be able to. We had our very first event was the Veterans Fundraiser to support another nonprofit. We were able to give over $1,000 to them, which is a lot more than we thought we were going to be able to accomplish with our very first event. Since then, we've had we've donated to the VFW locally when their sign. I'm sorry, there's a truck going by.
That's okay. I think earlier, I don't know if I'm confused or not, but I think earlier I thought I heard a chicken in the background.
No, but there are lots of little kids running around. Can you second and the train will go by?
Not a problem at all.
I wonder if I can go to the back porch. I was trying to avoid children, so I went to the front one. Okay. I'm moving away, and it's going away, so...
Oh, no worries.
Okay. Sorry, you asked a question. Now I'm trying to remember what it was.
The question I was asking is, you guys, with everything that you guys have done, you've been pretty successful.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we've been very happy with what we've been able to accomplish for this first year. The Veterans Fundraiser went a lot better than we had even hoped it would. We're going to do that again this year. It's in the end of November, beginning of December. I have to remember when we got the arena for. But we're hoping to make that an every year thing and hopefully just make it grow. And we're going to pick a different nonprofit that is a veteran services-based nonprofit every year. And we're hoping this year, because we're a little overly ambitious usually, but we're hoping this year to double what we did last year. We would love to be able to give thousands instead of just 1,000 to whatever organization we decide to go with this year.
Right.
In general, our organizations that we pick from for the veterans part do need to be like equine-based service programs. We have a couple that have been suggested so far, and we're going through and evaluating them and checking for certain conditions we have for them, which are
guidelines.
Just so we want to make sure that people are being, yes, we want to make sure people are actually being helped and that it's not just siphoning money into, sorry, now I have someone playing with a dog right next to me. We don't just have programs where they're just saying they're doing one thing and it ends up, you just put money into somebody else's pocket.
Right. Well, I think what you guys are doing is outstanding.
Hi.
The one thing that I've noticed in the past, and I don't know if you've noticed, because Brittany, was you military?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. All right. So the one thing that I've noticed with some of the veterans that I saw out there, the short time that I helped contribute to some of your events, and one thing I noticed is that with a horse, you have to be very, very calm, or you fluster the horse. He starts kicking up, stuff like that. So when a veteran goes out there and he starts petting the horse and starts kind of getting comfortable with it so that he can work around the horse or ride it or anything, I see this PTSD that's inside the veteran that, you know, it just, you know, it comes out like a fire, like, and then it softly whispers as he's working with the horse. And that's one of the things that I saw with this group that I kind of admired, and I was kind of astonished. Now, with that being said, one of my questions are, if veterans want to get involved and be a part of this group, and they want to, and I'm sure you're going to tell us about, you know, the events, how you get, I don't know anything about this stuff, so if I mispronounce it, get ready for it, okay? I asked you and Star that one time I was there, and I'm like, why is that horse wearing socks? And you guys laughed, and they're like, no, that's boots. You know, I don't know anything about this. But one of the, you know, some of the events that you guys did, like Gymkata and barrel racing, and I forget all the names that are in the event, but do you have to own a horse, or do you have vendors that have horses that are available for, you know, maybe there's a veteran in the city and he's not very good. In fact, he might be a beginner, but he wants to get involved. He thinks this thing is neat. Do you have a program set up to where he can come from the city, go right there to the event, or, you know, work with a horse? You know what I'm saying? What kind of programs do you have?
So our group itself does not directly own, does not directly own any horses for what I would say public use.
Okay.
Or use by someone outside of the direct owner of that horse.
Okay.
Insurance-wise, it's a totally different category of insurance that we would need. And starting out, there was no way we could swing that.
Got it. Okay.
But we do know of programs and people that if somebody wanted to start or get back into horses or whatever level they are, we do know of programs and can refer people to other nonprofits, or if they want to go like with like a typical trainer or lesson program or anything like that, we do know people that can help them in that avenue. At this time, we do not have horses that people can just come out and ride at the event.
Got it. Okay.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, just for the fact that a lot of times, it's better if you can go meet the horse like a week or two beforehand, ride it a couple times, kind of understand it, let it understand you.
Right.
And then it becomes a much clearer and a much more enjoyable time when you're riding, because you kind of start developing this partnership with them. You were talking before how you would see people that had maybe like PTSD, and how you'd be able to kind of see a difference in them after they've been around the horse for a while and stuff.
Right.
Tenfold that's magnified if they can spend some time and kind of get to know each other and learn how to communicate. And it's just one of those things where it's better all around for both sides of it, the horse and the rider, if they can kind of get together and start to understand each other before you go to an event where there might be like a little more stress or a little more energy.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, you know, and I'm gonna name drop some. You know her, I know her, and you know she, I don't know if she has PTSD. She might have PTSD. Let's just say that, you know, she's went through a lot. You know, being in a military family, and I've saw a huge change, and a friend of mine that rides the horses, Lexi. I saw her before she started, and now she's gotten involved with your group, and now she's totally changed. You know, she looks like she's got everything together. She's happy. You know, for the longest time, I didn't think that girl was ever going to be happy. So that's what I mean. It doesn't matter if you're military or have PTSD. It really helps people focus and concentrate. And they might not think their life is in shambles, but once they get involved and they start doing it, they don't realize it, but their life has changed. And that's one of the ones that I was speaking of, because I see a huge difference in her, and I didn't think she'd ever be able to be around a horse, because She was wild. We'll just put it that way. She was wild. I think that's a good word, don't you? She was wild.
I think so. And I think the biggest change that I've seen in her, and I'm hoping Star is okay with us talking about, but I think the biggest change I've seen in her is that she rides a horse called Tootsie.
Right.
Who is a wonderful, wonderful horse. Been there, seen it all, done it all. She's perfect for what Lexi needed. Lexi went from her first event ever having a full blown panic attack in the event, and the judge went out and actually was helping her through and working her through it, because that's the kind of environment we're trying to foster here,
right?
But from that point till now, where Lexi is going and she's able to take change and adapt to it and have it not be a complete breakdown for her, is that the biggest thing Tootsie has taught her is how to remain calm, how to have that anxiety level come up and to come back down.
Right.
And it's been a huge difference, and it's made an impact on, I think, every part of her life. She's been doing wonderful all around.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So then my next question, cuz like I said, we could talk about her all day, but we don't know if we don't know if Star will kick our butt about it. But the next question,
and she could too.
Right. We won't let her know. We'll air this Monday, and we'll see if we feel the repercussions. Maybe she won't even listen. But
hey, you know what? I'm out of state. She'll cool down before I get back.
And I leave Monday. We're good.
We're fine.
So the next question that I had was, I'm pretty sure I already know this, but I ask this for all the veterans. A lot of nonprofits, they have classifications like, you know, you can't be involved if you have a non-visual injury or a visual injury, and the nice way they put it is, what rating do you have with the VA? That's the nice way they put it. With this group, with this nonprofit, to be involved with you guys, you guys don't have anything like that, correct?
Correct. There is nothing regulating whether or not you can be a part of our group, come to events, come participate, come volunteer, any of it.
Perfect. Awesome. Okay, so now everybody knows a little bit about the nonprofit. that you guys are running. Now, what do you call all the obstacles? What do you call it all exactly?
The obstacles and the regular events are two separate things.
Okay, all right. How about you kind of explain how the event and stuff goes then?
Okay, so we have two, I would say, kind of distinct types of events. We were going to have barrel races, which would have been a third type, but we had conflicts with the arena and timing, and we just decided it would be easier all around and less confusing if we waited till next year and brought them back. But the main one that we do, the main event, they're, let's see, in Colorado they just call them shows and gymkhana.
Okay.
And so we have English riding style in the morning, and then we have Western riding style in the afternoon, and there's a lunch break, and then we have the speed event. So the English and the Western in the morning are more slow, they're more technical, it's more what I would call more like pretty riding. The absolute goal is to look like you're doing as little as possible and your horse is still doing things. So that would be the morning part of it. And then, we introduced a hack class for the English, which has a jump in it. So that was new for us and kind of exciting. None of us know what we're doing, but we're having fun learning.
Okay.
And then in the afternoon, we have the speed stuff, which is the Gymkhana portion, and it's the barrels, poles. We run a flag race. We have a speed event of the month. We do key. All those are a pattern set up with properties like barrels or poles, and it's just purely on time. There's no judge or anything like that. You can go as fast or as slow as you want.
Okay.
But in the end, the fastest one wins. And then the second type of event that we've been doing this year have been the obstacle challenges. And we have been doing those. We've been hosting those for another group that they are called Colorado Obstacle Challenge Series. They're a really nice group of people. We've been hosting it with them for the pure reason that 75% of the income from those events, we can take and put back into hosting like the shows and giving back to other places in our community that we have, like the VFW, and it helped us host a benefit for a trainer that was severely injured not that long ago.
Okay.
We're putting a lot of it towards a veterans fundraiser at the end of the year. We try and host that in a really big indoor arena that's expensive. And the Colorado Obstacle Challenge Series people have been wonderful to work with. They're very flexible, which is super important for us, especially starting out. And the events are super fun. Even if you've never rode a horse, I would recommend going and seeing a Colorado Obstacle Challenge. They have platforms that the horses have to climb up on, and teeter-totters, and they have to walk through hallways that are filled with pool noodles, and they play basketball off the horses. They've heard of turkeys, which is interesting and funny to watch. They have had to take horses across balance beams that are like a foot wide. And if you've, you know, some of these horses' feet, their feet are a foot wide. It's very interesting to watch, and it's wonderful to watch the partnership and, like, the teamwork that has to be involved.
Right.
Between, say Lexi. Lexi is, what, like 90 pounds? And she's riding this 1,000-pound horse that she's navigating through this stuff. And if the horse really wanted to say no and leave, it could.
Right.
But it's working on, like, building that trust and that communication, and it's just awesome to watch. It's a lot of fun, too. Some of the We had a car wash once where there's pool noodles poking out of barrels that are hanging from the ceiling of this arena, and you had to ride your horse through it like the brushes at a car wash. It's just, we come up with some interesting things.
Yes, for sure. Well, hey, so I hate to do this to you, Brittany, but we're running out of time, so I've got last question here on the show. We call it Your Time to Shine.
Oh, no. Did I lose you?
No.
Oh, okay.
So as the that sound bit was playing, I should have warned you before the interview. You was kind of talking to it.
Okay.
That's okay. All right. So just so you know, it was your time to shine. Maybe I didn't ask you the right question or set you up to, you know, get something that you want off your chest. This is the time. This is a two-minute platform to say whatever you would like to say, you know, to let the listeners know about anything that I might not cover. If you don't know really what to say, may I suggest that you tell everybody, at least, at the bare least, your social media website, your website, your social media pages, and anything else that you would like to add.
Sure.
So whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So if anyone wants more information about anything related to High Plains Trail Riders or the Colorado Obstacle Challenge group that I mentioned before, we are 100% transparent in everything we do. Every one of our meetings and everything is on our website, which is www.highplainstrailriders.org. It has all of our nonprofit information on it. It has all of our events. It has everything. It has information to our scholarship, which is something that we're super excited to be doing this year. It's for youth members, but we encourage everyone to kind of look into it and see what it's all about. We have a Facebook, High Plains Trail Riders. We have a page and a group. You should, you just Facebook search either one to come right up. If anyone ever has any questions or comments or anything, any one of us that are on the board, Star Baxter, Brittany McGilvers, myself, Amanda Meyer, you can find any of us through the Facebook or the website, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions. Or if you want to suggest a nonprofit for us to get in contact with, maybe to be a benefactor from the Veterans Benefit at some point, then please let us know. We have been asking for suggestions so that we can have plenty of time to get them all checked out. But yeah, if anyone just wants to know more or has any questions, please get a hold of us. We are more than happy, and we love questions, suggestions, anything.
All right. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you so much, Brittany. And wait, I want to talk to you on the other side. For everybody else, if you missed the interview, that's okay. You can wait until the show ends, and you can catch that podcast right when the show goes off the air. Once again, we were talking to Brittany. She is the PR person for High Plains Trail Riders. All right. Hey, once again, we want to thank Brittany for her time. But, hey, everybody, it's that time. It's time for a music break. We're going to go on that. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the what the moment. And we're going to listen to a hero's story. So whatever you do, stay with us. Don't go away. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H-Train Show.
You're listening to MBR.
Hi, this is Jenna Spivey, and you're listening to the H-Train Show.
All right. And we are back. You're listening to the show that highlights all the nonprofit programs beyond the VA. It's the H Train Show with my guest co-host, Rich Owen.
Yo.
All right. So before we get started, Rich, tell us, sell this to any other veteran that is interested in doing the guest co-host thing.
Oh,
how do you like it? Do you think it's fun?
This has been a blast. I'll tell you, when you first, you know, you put out the call, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it. I got to tell you, I'm like, and like this morning, I woke up and I thought to myself, did I promise to do that? Oh God, no. Actually, it's been fantastic. Joe, you're a great host. You really do make this look easy. It's like I was saying earlier. Yeah, during the day, my day job is I'm actually a rocket scientist, a no kidding rocket scientist. That's right, mild mannered rocket scientist during the day, country music superstar at night. But I look at all this thing you got going on here, and it's just amazing. Just opportunity to sit here with a good friend and shoot the breeze. I would recommend anybody gets an opportunity to come up here, do it. It's been fun. I can't believe we're so far into it now. God, it's almost over with, man.
Yeah.
No, it's been great. Really enjoyed it.
And a lot of people say that too. They're like, wow, the time really flew by.
It does.
And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, you said something that kind of made me think maybe we should address that.
All right.
When you first came and I was telling you all about, you know, reading this and doing this and all the different things to watch for, like you said, you're like, oh my God, kind of, I don't know about this.
It's like, I mean, does he expect me to do that? And all this other stuff too, because it looks like NASA's control center right here. You know, you can't see it looking in the if you're looking at the video and stuff. But he's got all these screens, and he wants to add a couple more up here. And pretty soon, you know, it'll be the HAL 9000. Hello, Joel. It's time for the show.
Well, you know, I thought about hooking it up to Alexa Fire.
Ooh.
But I haven't even figured out how the Alexa Fire works on my TV. So. Baby steps.
I am not inviting anybody to be monitoring my home 24 hours a day, listening to everything I do. You know, I've been looking at the news and stuff like that and go, yeah, they're listening to people having, you know, whatever going on, you know, and I'm like, no, haven't you seen Terminator? Don't you watch the movies? You know where this goes.
I do. I watch the movies a lot, actually. But, yeah, so before we get into the what the moment, you know, let's do a little bit of time here and tell us a little bit about your story. We don't have a whole lot of time. But.
Yeah, yeah. So, as you mentioned earlier, you know, I was in the military. I joined the military when I was 19 years old. Before that, I was actually going to go into show business. I loved performing. Singing, I like to act, stuff like that. And whereas my mom would say I like to act up, but you know, I met my wife and I fell in love and said, well, show business is a lousy way to start a family and take care of your loved ones. So I'm not going to do that. So I came into the military instead. And I'd sing every chance I can, you know. And I would be in the Air Force Talent Contest every year and stuff like that. And I would sing in some musical variety shows that were around wherever I was stationed and that. And of course, the odd karaoke show, and a friend had given me a guitar, and it was a really crummy guitar, and I tried to learn to play, and couldn't get it to sound good. But I kept telling my wife, I said, "Man, I really should learn to play the guitar, because then maybe I could be popular at parties." It hasn't worked, by the way, but nonetheless, you know. So one year, Christmas time, she presents me with a brand new guitar, and it wasn't like a super top of the line. It wasn't like a, you know, like a Martin or anything like that, but it was a decent guitar for the money. And so I sat down and I started playing it and teaching myself. And I go, wow, this actually sounds like a guitar. And my wife and I were sitting around one day, and we were talking about, you know, what the future holds and things like that. And I says, can't believe we've been married this long. She says, hey, you're stuck with me forever. And I said, well, then I'm not ready for forever to end. And that was the first song that I ended up writing, was a love song to her called I Ain't Ready for Forever to End. And so started writing songs, more songs. And like I said, this last year I got picked up by a Sony independent label, Solaris Entertainment Studios.
That's kind of a big deal.
These guys, the other people on the record label with me, Ronnie Dunn, as a solo artist, is on the record label. Sammy Kershaw, Paul Overstreet, Donnie and Marie, for crying out loud, are on the record label with me, which is pretty exciting when I see my name up on the list with those folks. But so they've been guiding my career, and they helped me get it's actually my third album, but it was my first album with the record label, Tip Jar, which you can find on all your usual places, SoundCloud and all that kind of stuff.
You know, when you do that, what? Do you realize that you kind of look like Ernest?
Oh, no. Oh, say it isn't so. Well, that's right, Bernd. Yeah. So that's kind of what's been going on. And I've just put together a new band. I'd been with a band before, but just put together a new band. It's going to be Rich Owen and Mosquito Pass, because we thought it'd be kind of fun if the band had to go out and do other things because I was doing something else, they could still kind of continue on. And they're talking about me possibly touring or going out and opening for one of the other acts. Parmalee just signed with them as well. So if you know who they are, they had a couple of hits, and they're trying to make a good comeback here, and I think they're going to do well. But so you know, I'm just hoping that I can end my second career and move on to my third career, which is just making music, having a good time doing that. So kind of a dream come true.
Well, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. But. It is that time, and we are, I think you'll enjoy this. It is that time, everybody. It is the what the moment.
Hey, those are cool tats, man.
Oh, for real. Thank you, bro. You see the cobra?
And what is this one?
Oh, this? Uh-huh. That's my credo. No regrets.
Mm-hmm. You have no regrets?
Dad?
No.
Like, not even a single letter?
No way. Not me.
Well, I love him. I think he's great.
Okay.
I think he's a real winner, Casey. If I were you, I wouldn't use protection.
What the?
You like that, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Do you remember that movie?
Which one was that? It sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
The Millers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The guy's fake family. He puts together fake families because they're running drugs or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
I love movies. Well, the what the moment, ladies and gentlemen, is CNN is reporting this. It looks like they reported this Thursday, August 1st, and last Thursday. And a New Delhi, a 7-year-old boy, is complaining of jaw pain, was found to have 526 teeth inside his mouth, according to the hospital in India where he was treated. Okay, so basically, and we're going to have to cut this somewhat short, but me and you talked about this. I've been overseas to India.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been to a third world country like that. I know that you've been over like Germany.
And I've been down to like Central America and things like that. I've never been to India, but I got to tell you, I just want to know, does the tooth fairy pay in quarters over there or in rupees? I mean, because that kid has got his college education paid for now.
All right. Right. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of screwed up stuff that happens overseas, especially India. I was telling you how I went on a mission trip, and I remember during that mission trip, I somewhat believed in, Satan, but I didn't believe in possessing or anything like that. And these eyes, I kid you not, I saw a man possessed, foaming at the mouth, and he was going
floating up walls.
He wasn't floating. He went up against the wall and up against the ceiling. Something that you would see in a horror movie and movies. And it really affected the way I looked at the book. It really affected the way that I looked at the church. And that mission trip really tried my faith.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, India, it's... You can if you're a Christian, okay, mm-hmm. which I am, and you go over there, it really challenges your faith because you can feel I don't know how to say it, the demonic force. You can really feel it.
And it's like we were talking too that a lot of a lot of people they'll say, yeah, I believe in God, and then you say, so You believe in the devil, right? You believe in Satan. They go, oh no, that's more metaphorical.
And see, I've heard it the other way.
Yeah.
I've heard, oh no, I'm an atheist. Oh, okay. Then you don't believe in Satan. No, I believe that there's a Satan. Okay.
We got a definitional problem there.
Yeah, yeah. And I just find a lot of my friends, like, they believe more in Satan than they do.
You need to get some new friends, buddy.
but that's beside the point.
Yes.
That's beside the point. But you know, I thought that was really messed up.
Yeah.
This boy had all these teeth.
My God, and like nobody noticed before then.
Right.
This is he goes, yeah, my jaw hurts. Kind of like, open, smile for me. Holy.
Well, and you know, over in India, there's a lot of. Homeless, a lot of poverty.
Yeah, we don't know poverty here in this country
like they do
over there.
Yeah, and it's so bad. Literally, I'll tell you how bad it is, and this is a true story. When we did our mission trips, and I went with Acquire the Fire, it's a nonprofit group.
Mm-hmm.
When we did mission trips, and we got on the bus. We loaded the bus in a certain part of town, and there was a kid that I saw one day that had both of his arms and both of his legs, and he was begging for money.
Mm-hmm.
The kid took a saw and sawed off his legs so that he could get more money.
Yeah.
To beg for. And
holy.
The way he got around was on a skateboard. He would put his lower torso on the skateboard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's how he got around.
That's desperation.
That's how poor this country is, to give you a subject.
Yeah, no kidding. Whew, man.
But, I mean, I could totally believe this story with the teeth because... Look at how much of a struggle it is over healthcare here in the United States.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much of a struggle it is over there?
With a country they got nearly a billion people in India. There's pollution is a huge problem in parts of India. And don't get me wrong, there are parts of India that are beautiful.
Right.
There's, certainly, a lot of amazing things to see there, but... But, yeah, we don't know in this country. We haven't experienced real poverty. And that's not to say that there aren't people suffering in this country and having a hard time. Of course there are. But it really puts it in perspective. And one of the trips that my family and I took with the kids, we went to several places that would be considered third world. And it was an eye-opening experience for them. I mean, it really was. And it really does make you appreciate what we have here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, it is that time, Rich. It is the 2-minute warning.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1. We have ignition. Strap in.
It's the 2-minute warning.
2-minute warning.
What we learned today.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Sponsored by Common Ground Golf Course in Colorado.
a place for all and all the game teaches.
Okay, Rich. So what did you learn today?
I learned that dentists can make a lot of money in India with just a single patient. I learned about the great organization, the Trail Riders, High Plains Trail Riders. That was pretty cool. We learned about a great American hero. I learned that putting on a show like this is not, you know, if you thought it was hard, you're wrong. It's twice whatever hard that is. I mean, it's like really, really amazing. You do a tremendous job, Joel.
Thank you.
I could not do this. And like I said, I was scared when he first told me, and he was going through all this stuff, and he says, "Don't worry, man. I got you. So he made it really easy. You made it really easy for me, man.
I appreciate it. Well, I enjoyed you. And, you know, the biggest thing that I liked about today is I got to learn more about you.
Oh, thanks.
You know?
Likewise.
I think so many times, like, you'll have friends, but you don't really know your friends until you, like, spend a couple hours with them, you know, doing stuff, talking.
Especially on the radio where you got to fill that air, so say something. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, I learned how you got started, mm-hmm. you know, and my only question about when you had gotten started was the first album, that song that you did for your wife.
Yeah.
Is it on your first album?
It is. It is on the first album, yeah. And I'm actually hoping to redo it. There's a couple of songs from the first two albums that I'd like to do based on what I've learned and just with today's modern, the modern technology that we have. I could, you know, and better sound engineers and stuff like that. I mean, the guy did a great job. Terry Fullwider was the engineer on those. But we've just come a long ways, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of improvement. So I'm hoping to redo that one, actually. My wife would like me to do that, of course.
Right. Well, you know, new technology. And there's a couple of songs that you picked today that there's remastered the songs.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that I play there. So
mm-hmm.
I totally get what you're talking about on that. I think that about covers it, everybody. So hopefully you enjoyed the show today. That is the show for today. That's the show for today, everyone. And thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. And remember, you can listen to us again and again. The podcast of this radio show is available right after we get off the air tonight. And remember, we're here for you, not for us.
Giving our veterans a voice.